Turn within your Bibles, please, to John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15. And verse number 13. In John 15, verse number 13, the Bible says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, O God, as we come before you today, Lord, as we look at your word, as we celebrate, as we honor our veterans and those who have served our great country, mm-hmm, through your grace and through your mercy, Lord, even now, look on us and bless us with your presence. Lord, work in hearts today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I'm going to try and get through this, but today is rough for me. And you're, well, okay, you know, you're not a veteran, and you're right, I'm not. I did not serve in that manner. But I have friends that did. As I was thinking back over this past week and remembering friends that I've known over the years who served, many of them have died because of injuries that they received while there over in other countries. One friend, if he were alive today, he'd tell you that it was Agent Orange that got him. He was shot 25 times. He was awake as the Viet Cong removed his boots, knowing that if he gave any indication that he was still alive, that shoot him and kill him. He survived that. And what an honor it was to know him. As we look at Veterans Day and understanding, and I wanted to go back and cover some of the history. World War I, known at the time as the Great War, officially ended when the Treaty of Versailles was signed on June 28, 1919, in the Palace of Versailles, outside the city of in France. However, fighting had ceased several months earlier when an armistice, or temporary cessation of hostilities between the Allied nations and Germany, went into effect on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. For that reason, November 11, 1918, is generally regarded as the end of the war to end all wars. On November 1919, President Wilson proclaimed November 11 as the first commemoration of Armistice Day with the following words: "To us in America, the reflections of Armistice Day will fulfill with solemn pride in the heroism of those who died in the country's service, and with gratitude for the victory, both because of the thing from which it has freed us, and because of the opportunity it has given America to show her sympathy with peace and justice in the Council of Nations. The original concept for the celebration was for a day observed with parades and public meetings and a brief suspension of business beginning at 11 a.m. The United States Congress officially recognized the end of World War I when it passed a concurrent resolution in June 4th of 1926 with these words: "Whereas the 11th of November 1918 marked the cessation of the most destructive, singular, and far-reaching war in human annals, and the resumption by the people of the United States of peaceful relations with other nations, which we hope may never again be severed. And whereas it is fitting that the recurring anniversary of this date should be commemorated with thanksgiving and prayer and exercises designed to perpetuate peace through goodwill and mutual understanding between nations. And whereas the legislature of 27 of our states have already declared November 11th to be a legal holiday, therefore be it resolved by the Senate the House of Representatives concurring that the President of the United States is requested to issue a proclamation calling upon the officials to display the flag of the United States on all government buildings on November 11th, and inviting the people of the United States to observe the day in schools and churches or other suitable places with appropriate ceremonies of friendly relations with all other peoples. An Act 52, Statute 351, 5 of the U.S. Code, Section 87A, approved May 13, 1938, made the 11th of November of each year a legal holiday, a day to be dedicated to the cause of world peace and to be thereafter celebrated and known as Armistice Day. Armistice Day was primarily a day set aside to honor veterans of World War I, but in 1954, after World War II had required the greatest mobilization of soldiers, sailors, Marines, and airmen in the nation's history, after American forces had fought against aggression in Korea, the 83rd Congress, at the urging of the veteran service organizations, amended the Act of 1938 by striking out the word armistice and inserting in its place the word veterans. With the approval of this legislation, Public Law 380, in June 1, 1954, November 11th became a day to honor American veterans of all wars. Later that same year, on October 8th, President Dwight D. Eisenhower issued the first Veterans Day proclamation. We need to remember the freedom-loving patriots who birthed this nation almost 200 years ago. Consider the 57 men who signed the Declaration of Independence. Those men were not wild-eyed, rabid, rabble-rousing ruffians, but were soft-spoken, men of means and education. 25 were lawyers or judges, 9 were farmers or plantation owners, 11 were merchants. The patriot group also included physicians, educators, a musician, a printer, and one minister. Several were sons of pastors. They had security, but they valued liberty more. Despite the danger, they defiantly penned their names beneath the words for the support of this declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honor. Everyone paid a price for our liberty. The British captured and brutally tortured 5 as traitors. 9 died from wounds or hardships they suffered fighting in the war for independence. 2 lost their sons in the Continental Army. 2 had sons captured. At least a dozen had homes pillaged. A lot of this was from John Shepler's writings on the positive light. Someone else wrote, "It is not the soldier. It is the soldier, not the reporter, who has given us freedom of the press. The soldier, not the poet, who gave us freedom of speech. The soldier, not the politician, has guaranteed our freedom to vote, to assemble, and even the freedom to disagree." With that reminder of the history of Veterans Day fresh on our minds, we do want to thank and honor our veterans here today. If these and many other veterans around the world today sacrificed so much for so little, what call to action does that place on those of us who claim the name of Christ, who have received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior? John 15:13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Couple teenagers from our previous youth group up in Farmington are in the armed forces. A couple of our young people from this church left this year for the armed forces. And if you were to ask any of the veterans in here today or any of them around the world, if when they swore to uphold the Constitution of the United States against enemies both within and without, if they were doing that with the intention of laying their life down, they would probably reply in the negative. That I'm confident, wasn't their intention. But many did. and those that served, whether they saw action or did not, served in a manner that continues to promote our freedoms, our liberties today. They did so much for so little. And then the church today seems to be just laying down and allowing sin to walk over us. For Satan to have control, for Satan to take and do with this world as he may well. And we are the ones who should love more than anybody. You have to answer for yourself. But if someone were to walk up to you on the street today and ask you, are you a Christian? Are you saved? Have you received Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? And if you have, and you go, yes, I have. Thank you so much for asking. Happy to share my testimony. And they go, well, I have one more follow-up question. Are you willing to lay down your life for your fellow man? Most Christians, most people, you hear them, hey, you've heard my testimony. As a 9-year-old boy, the preacher got up, he preached on hell, he preached on destruction, he preached on punishment for sin, and I, as a 9-year-old boy, I understood that the wages of sin is death, and I couldn't afford to pay it. I could not afford to, and had no desire to even to begin to attempt to pay an eternity for one sin. At 9 years old, I was honest with myself, even as we are today, I was guilty of more than one. And I went forward not to lay my life down for my fellow man, but to receive the life that Jesus laid down on the cross. Amen. As sacrifice, as the propitiation, as we'll see, for my sin. And if you had asked me after I received Christ as my Savior and I was excited, I went and told my parents, hey, Dad, Mom, I want to tell you something. I received Christ as my Savior. My parents were happy. I went home and my buddy couldn't go to camp that year, and I called him up and I said, hey, you need to come spend the night. I'll put up a tent in the backyard. We'll pretend just like I just didn't get back from a week of camping in a tent. And he came over that night, and we goofed off for a while. And then I said, hey, I've got to show you something. Because I wanted my friend to go to heaven with me. But if you'd have asked me the next Sunday when I went forward and said, hey, told the whole church I received Christ as my Savior, and I came forward to let people know and to ask to be baptized. If I'd have known then what I knew just a couple months later, that we were going to wait till January. I was saved in July. We were going to wait till January. We were going to go to a church that was under construction, that had moved the baptismal from the auditorium they were using because it was too small, and they had put it into their building with the wood studs. You know, no siding, no nothing. They had graciously put a garden hose and filled it up for us. And on a January day, I'm confident that when my dad baptized me, I broke ice once going down and again bringing me back up. And if I'd have known, I probably would. And if you'd have asked me after I got out of the water and they rushed me in to warm me up in the main auditorium, the old auditorium of the church, if they'd have asked me, did you do all of this so you can lay your life down for your friends? I said, no. That thought would not have crossed my mind. That was not what I got saved for. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. But as I got older and understood the Bible more, and as I learned more about what the Bible says, I realized that this life is no longer mine. And if I truly love my fellow man as Jesus loved me and as Jesus loved the world, then I ought to be willing to lay my life aside in exchange for the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody else. I may never have to die in the place of somebody else. But if I don't die to self long enough to show somebody the gospel, I have failed my calling. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 7 and 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I was talking to a young man the other day, and I don't know if he served, if wasn't the conversation wasn't going there, but I was trying to share the gospel with him, and he says, "Well, I'm a good person, and I know that God is going to look on me, and he's going to look at all the good things that I tried to do and the attempt that I made at being good, and he will have mercy, and he'll allow me into heaven." And I said, "For all intents and purposes, you don't know me, and I don't know your history. I'm not asking you to tell me what you've done wrong or what you've done that's so great, but I said, I know who I am, I know what I am, and I said, you could easily convince me that you're a better person than I am. But the Bible doesn't say that, oh, if you're a good enough person, you can get into heaven. It said Christ died for us." And as I was getting ready for this morning, I keep thinking about all of those young men and women around the world today, over the years of the United States of America, who have served, who have sacrificed, who have done great things for this country, even if they were, like one of my friends, just a desk clerk, as he says.